It is good to see you all. This is not TV land, okay? It's good to see you all. Yeah, Bulavanaka, Talofalava, Malo. Oh gosh, here we go. Konnichiwa, Nihau Ma, Bula. Is it Salamat, Paul? And G'day, mate. I was just thinking this morning, and I wanted just to give a heads up to the missions team. They represented us so well. Can we just give them one more round of applause and thank them all? Really, really awesome. And the church is doing extremely well. And Pastor Jarrett and Nicole came from here. So we're all about sending people and planting new works, and these wonderful things happening up there. And also, I want you to know, as a church, every month we send a little package of money to the church in Fiji. We're partners with Pastor Jarrett and Nicole. So every month we're investing into that church. So they're like a son and a daughter to us, the Every Nation Fiji, and we look forward to ongoing trips in the future. Doesn't that sound bonza beauty, mate? Now, for all the immigrants that just rocked in here, that's a bit of slang for you. Bonza beauty, mate. Okay, all right. I take it upon myself to give a little Kiwi, you know, cultural understanding each time I get up here. Anyway, it's good. Today is our 11th time in this facility. Isn't that cool? 11 times. And my question to you now, have you got your habit together? Have you figured out how to drive here? Have you got your favorite car park yet? Has anybody stolen your favorite chair yet? I just wonder, has anyone here had anything stolen from them? In my house, I have these ferocious beasts called young men. I won't mention my wife at this point. But you know what I actually have to do? We actually have to put labels on food. Like, there's a serviette on top of the dish and it says Dad. And they know if anyone touches that food, it's lights out. It will be abuse. I wonder, have you had anything stolen before? Yeah, I was over in South Africa taking a certain wedding. And I remember I was over there and I went to use my credit card. And little did I know, at that point, I was just taking out cash, but there was a skimming machine in there. I got back to good old New Zealand, and then I saw thousands of dollars taken out from some organization in Malaysia, actually. But it was all tracked back to South Africa. Nothing against South Africa. I've been burgled twice. True story. A beautiful couple here, they're not here today. They actually babysat our four kids so Chrissy and I could go to a conference in America. Sam right in the front row, believe it or not, he used to be two. He was just about 2 foot high. And they were staying there and we were, their wedding ring was stolen and a bunch of stuff. And I think the second time was my drum kit. So we've been burgled a couple of times. Isn't it such a horrible sense of being violated? Even if it's a phone or cash, like how dare they? I mean, right now I want to use expletives to give you reflect the kind of anger you can feel, but I shouldn't in church, especially since it's been captured on podcast. But really, it would test your character and your patience, wouldn't it? I'm here today to tell you that there is a great heist that is happening every day. In the unseen spiritual world, there is theft going on every day, and most of us are unaware of it. John 10 gives a job description of Satan. Yes, he's a real being. He's a spirit being. There is good and there is evil. There's Jesus and there's Satan, and he's an invisible spirit being, and every day he is raping and pillaging people, and they don't know about it. In John 10:10, he's described as a thief who comes to rob, steal, and destroy. He doesn't need to steal our car. He doesn't need to rob our houses. He doesn't have any need for a car because he's a spiritual being. But he silently and secretly steals our most valuable assets from right under our nose. How about purpose for living? This city, this country of ours has got so many people have no idea why they're even on the planet. When they're young, maybe they had dreams and aspirations, but now they just lie in bed at night looking at the ceiling, wondering, what is it all about? Like, just money, have a kid, white picket fence. I mean, you know, what's the deal? Some people try to fill it with drugs and alcohol or success or achievements, people filling that void, but the devil is stealing and ripping out a sense of purpose in life. Christian, what happened to your first love? There was a time in our lives where we loved Jesus more than any other thing, so much more than we did today. There was a time in our life our appetite for God's word was ferocious. Our love for God's house was enthusiastic. We were here early for prayer. There was a time in our life we were eager to share the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. But what happened to the passion? When we first got saved and we first discovered grace and love, that should be the beginning, our low point from which we grow in our relationship with God. But unfortunately, too often, it's the high point we look back. We look at our lives now, and our first love has been stolen. We haven't got time to talk about spiritual treasures like peace, joy, virginity, self-worth. The list is endless, my friend. Satan himself, the thief, silently, invisibly robs you if you're not aware. But I want to tell you today, the number one thing Satan is after, above all else, high above all the things I've mentioned and anything else that your imagination can conjure up, the one thing he's out to destroy most is your faith in God. He knows that it's impossible to please God without faith. You can do church, you can come to a meeting, sing hallelujah, put a coin in the bag, but friend, if there's no real living faith during the week, then that connection with God is not there. And he knows it's impossible to please God. All he has to do, my friend, is rob you of your faith. And the church is just like those beings on television. We see so many programs about them now. What do they call them? They walk like dead men walking. What do you call them? Zombies. I come across zombies every day, going through the routine. No real idea why they're on the planet. Been ripped apart and raped of their most precious assets. Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. The purpose of the series is to build faith. Build strong faith, to invest in your faith. The purpose of this message, and last week, Pastor Weong did a brilliant job on Noah. Did you like that? Hallelujah. We're glad you liked it, but I hope it got into your heart and mucked you up and cut you down. Hallelujah. We want to encourage people, but we also want the Word of God to cut and pierce into our hearts. We looked at Noah, and before that, we looked at Enoch, and next week we're going to have look at Moses, good old Pastor Mo with that glorious beard. I'm trying to be more like Pastor Moses. But today we're going to talk and look at Abraham and his wife Sarah, formerly known as Abraham and Sarai. Abraham and Sarah, they are just a beautiful couple. that are their stories in Scripture. So why don't we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 12. And can I just say, all of these people we're talking about, they're not perfect people. Don't mistake this, that, well, to be a person of great faith, I've got to be perfect. The hall of faith, the hall of fame in Hebrews, we've got in there liars, doubters, we've got a sex worker in there, we've got people, and this Abraham lied about his wife, he didn't even man up and say, yeah, she's my missus. He lied, said, oh, it's my sister, because he knew that the guys there would try and take her. I mean, I'm telling you, there's drunkenness, there's wild, I mean, all kinds of stuff. You don't have to be a perfect person to have great faith. Can someone say hallelujah? Because this is not the perfect place. If there's any perfect here, people here, please leave the building now. You make us all feel real bad. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 12. Here we go. I'm going to read the New Life or the New Living Translation. It was by faith. Everyone say faith. By faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a stranger. That's right, he was a migrant. Visas, immigration department. Abraham was a migrant. He was a stranger, a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to, and here comes a picture of heaven. It's talking about heaven, and it's described this way, a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. Hallelujah. And so a whole nation came from one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Today, I want to talk about great faith. Subtitle, when things look dead. I am so pumped about this message. I hope it really resurrects and really builds our faith today. Hebrews, of course, is like the movie trailer. All through Hebrews 11, 12, 13, it's like a trailer. In fact, Hebrews itself is an overview of the entire Bible. It's like the movie trailer, but to go back to the full-length movie, to go back and find out what really happened, looking at the detail and the drama of the story, we've got to go back to Genesis. Genesis, and we'll pick it up in chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And God says, get out! I don't think he raised his voice like that. I don't think it was in English. But anyway, the translation is, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, Abraham and Sarah, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Well, I got two problems. Abraham is 75. Abraham is 75. I'm 52, and I've got to be honest, when I get out of bed now, I've got a few creaks going on in the back. He was a 75-year-old with 75-year-old health problems, and he probably wasn't raised in this beautiful modern city that we are. No, 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 friend. He was raised in a very rugged, rough environment and culture. He was an old man, 75. My mother is about 75, and like, there's all these health issues that are going on. Abraham's 75, and Abraham is stinking filthy rich. He's got more money than you could throw a stick at. He's got gold. He's got stocks. He's got staff. He's got land. He's living in an upmarket riverside retirement complex. He's living in Haran. It's a riverside town. He's got a whole staff. He's a conglomerate. He's the Donald Trump of his day. Dare I mention his name in a sermon? Hallelujah. It was Abraham. He had bowls on Tuesday. He had bridge on Friday. He had spa pools. He had everything going on. He was living the life. He was in his golden years, surrounded by friends and family, cousins and nephews and nieces, and the culture was familiar. The ways, whether you leave shoes on at the door, off at the door, or the way you do things, all the cultural trappings. And God says, get out. Leave. 75. Get out. Leave. I want to send you somewhere, Abraham, to an unknown land and an unknown future. So amazingly, Abe and his wife, Sarah, put everything on Trade Me. Or maybe it was Marketplace, eBay. They pack up what's left. They grab their nephew, his wife, and they head off. And they just trusted God. They just obeyed God. They just departed. Wow. 75. The second problem we have with the story is that Abraham and Sarah had everything money could buy. They had the Harley, they had the jet ski, they had the toys, they had everything of its day that you could have. They had everything, but there was one unanswered prayer, there was one heartache, there was one thing in their life that left them feeling incomplete. There was one thing that they were desperate for and they'd never had, and that was a child. No IVF, no such word as surrogacy. Either God did it or God didn't do it. He's 75 years old. And God says, I will give you offspring to make your name great. And then later on in the text, in the Bible, later on, God says to Abraham, go outside, look at the stars. Go on, Abraham, look at the stars. Dream, boy, dream. Look at the stars. And he says, I'm going to give you children and grandchildren and descendants and a name. I'm going to give you a whole. In fact, you're going to have so many people, Abraham, you can create your own country. Now, that's pretty big, right? Like, I like my kids. I've got four kids. I've got the urban thing going down over there at Underwood Heights. But I don't think we can call ourselves our own country. We can hibernate somewhere down the South Island and create a community. But we can't call ourselves our own country. God says, Abraham, 75. Abraham, look up. Look up. Every star you see, I'm going to give you more family than you could even count. I'm going to give it to you, Abraham. Your family will be so many that you can form your own nation. Wow. Abraham's thinking, God promised me a bunch of kids. But my body is dead. I want you to think, just think biologically with me. Can we just think a little bit biologically? Abraham and his wife are no longer at the age they're interested in you know what. In fact, she's well past menopause. There's other scripture that actually says that. Can I have my pleasure again? It ain't happening, people. It's like when the television goes off and they go to the bedroom, it's straight to sleep. It's not happening. He looks at himself in the mirror and thinks, it ain't happening. And then he looks at his wife. It definitely ain't happening. There's not even an interest there. Have you faced anything impossible in your life? Have you had a relationship that you longed for it to be restored, but you've done everything you can, it's just not working, and you run the risk of overdoing it and underdoing it, and you're praying and you nip it all. You get to a point, unless God moves, it won't happen, right? Have you been in that situation? What about a financial miracle? Like, really, if God doesn't come through, we are over. Sooner or later, my friend, you will come to a situation that if God does not move, nothing will happen. Maybe for you it's a marriage. Maybe the marriage doesn't look good. Maybe you've been trying to work it out, friend. Can I just say this to every married person in this room? As clear as I can, are you looking at me? You're listening to me. Satan wants to destroy your marriage. And you've got to give it up for Satan. He's been very successful. How many relationships have been split? And so many guys have shot off to Aussie just like my own dad. To take out a family, you just got to take out the man. The impact is incredible. He's been stealing family. He's been stealing security. He's been stealing fidelity for many, many years. Have you ever faced something that's just impossible? Unless God moves. Maybe it's a child who's walked away from the Lord, making some crazy decisions, and you can't do much about it. And all you can do is hope and pray. Have you been through anything like that? I have. All of us will go through them. So God says to Abraham, 75, Abraham, you're going to have this incredible family. He's looking at God. He's looking at his body. He's looking at God. He's looking at his body. After the promise, get this. After the promise, God gave Abraham the promise. After the promise, this is so God. After the promise, he makes him wait 25 more years. 25. I mean, if 75 wasn't going to be a miracle, now the dude is 100. God, what is up with your time frame? Sort your schedule out, please. Like, now would be fine. I know what you're thinking. Like, now. At 75, his body was dead. At 100, what do you think's happening? Buddy, his decomposition has already started. He's, you know. And him and Sarah are going to like, get it on? No way. '75, '76, '77. Do you think Abraham prayed to God? Did God win? Like, did I hear you right? Can I really believe? Maybe it is 80th birthday. What's up, God? Like, are you still there? Hello? Knock, knock, God. Maybe a bit of doubt creeping in, a bit of cynicism. Some other couple has a baby, like, oh, but a bit on a good front, but really in your heart you're going, yeah, God, come on. You can understand Abraham asking God, when's the baby coming? When are you going to fulfill the promise that you said? Pastor Jim prophesied it in 2015. 85, 80th birthday, 85th birthday, 90th birthday, 95, 99, 100, and he has a boy. Sarah's 90, he's 100 years old. Why on earth are we waiting, God? God's timing is so different to ours. Have you figured that out yet? He doesn't even live in time. We live in this thing called 24-hour clock. He lives outside of time itself. God's perspective is so much higher than ours. But Abraham and Sarah, and this is why they are recommended, this is why they're esteemed as a model of faith, because they kept believing when the facts say otherwise. Catch this, faith does not deny reality, but it acknowledges that there's something more real. And you know what that thing is? It's more real than facts? God's word. Something that's more real than facts, scientific facts, is God's word. And it's God's word that builds up faith. It's God's word that strengthens our very spirit to dare to believe his word when the facts. Some of us in here think facts are the highest form of information. No, they're not. God's word is more real and more powerful than facts and evidence and the reality, what we perceive as reality. Things are going on right now, even in this room, that are very real in the spirit world. Because all of this goes back to the spirit of unbelief. All the children of Israel did not enter the promised land. They did not see the promises come to reality in their life because of a thing called unbelief. It's a nice word for saying that Satan is stealing faith. Abraham and Sarah kept believing. They kept looking. I imagine they just put the mirror away. Every time they look at that mirror, it's just not happening. Every other baby that's born, oh, that's lovely. Baby shower, oh, lovely. When, God? When? When? The easy path is to quit and doubt and quit. The hard path is to wait. Anybody waiting? I want to tell you today that things may seem dead, but God loves to resurrect things. You missed the moment, people. Things may seem dead, but God loves to resurrect things. It's what He does for morning tea. He's a resurrecting God. He's a God who will do amazing stuff. He's a God that from nothing, He will say a few words and the whole of creation bursts into life. He's a creative God. He loves to resurrect things. It's not over. Listen to me. It's not over till God says it's over. And when you think it's over, it's not over. It's a whole study of Scripture. The birth of something, the death of something, and the resurrection of something. We think death is the end. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not. The dream is not over. The facts may look different, but God has not finished in your life. The enemy nailed Jesus to the cross, and they thought He was dead, and He was. For 3 days, He was dead, and then the power of God struck His body, and He resurrected to life, and He overcame the devil. 3 days, supernatural intervention. That's exactly what happened, just like in Lazarus' life, just like the woman at Zarephath's son, just like the Shunammite woman's son, just like the son of the woman at Nain. And here's my favorite. I love the story. It's in 2 Kings. I love the story. Elisha, remember Elisha? Elisha. Elisha is dead. Elisha's so dead, his flesh has decomposed. He's now a pile of bones. But I want to tell you something. Oh, it's a beautiful story. I want you to catch it in 2 Kings. The anointing is so strong in this man's life. There's still electricity in his bones. He's stuck in a cave. The stone was away. It was very normal in the culture. It wasn't this little tidy square thing here. It was more a tomb like Jesus. There was a big stone, and they put the bodies in there, and the flesh and the cloth had draped down. There's nothing to hang on, just a few bones. And there's this man who died. He's a nameless man. And these guys, his mates, were going to put him in the tomb. And they saw some raiders coming, some Moabite raiders, which means to say they were bandits, pirates, bad dudes. And they were coming and they were freaking out. So they grabbed the body of the dead dude who had been dead for quite some time now, and they threw him into the cave because they had to get out of there to save their behind. And when that dead corpse hit the dead bones, boom, he was resurrected to life. He starts moving around. See, God loves to resurrect dead things, my friend. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not over. The devil has destroyed your doubt. He's trying to wither away your faith. But I want to tell you today, keep the dream. Keep believing in God's word. Hang on to what He says. Believe in God. Do not doubt. Follow Abraham and Sarah, 100 years old, and they had the baby boy. They had the nation. They had the descendants. They needed a whole lot of people moving vans to get everybody around, because God will honor His word, and He's not limited to faith. Jesus If God said it, God will perform it. You just hang on and you be faith, even be strong in your faith, even when things look dead. I believe he can resurrect your dreams. I believe he put a hope in your life. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's for a partner, a spouse. Maybe it's for a child. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's for someone to come back to the faith. I want you to hang on to faith. I want you to hang on to belief. I want you to trust God, my friend. This God that I talk about, this Jesus I talk about, he's the very one that could speak to the very weather itself and say, peace be still in the name of Jesus. And even the oceans and the waves and the elements will yield to the authority of the name of Jesus. The word of God is more stronger, more real than anything else in your life. You think this stuff is real? My friend, it'll deceive you. The word of God is the truth. The problem is our faith has been stolen, friend, because you're lazy in the word of God. You're lazy to build up yourself in the word of God. You might go to church, you might not go to church. Friend, that's why I'm here, to hear the word of God, to build my faith up. Get into the scriptures, begin to believe, read the miracles, friend. Stop being lazy. Take God at his word. Let's be serious about this thing, because the devil is robbing you. He's robbing you. I wish I could issue us all with spiritual glasses and see the prowling lion, the snake who slithers silently and creates doubt. Just try a little bit. You can leave your wife. Don't worry about it. They won't miss you. Just a little bit. They don't care. All his languages, all his seductive suggestions. Oh, maybe God didn't really mean it. That word was just made by man. Oh, it was just emotionalism. Oh, that's just a childhood fantasy. Oh, he will just try to fill you until we are all dead men walking. No one, repeat, no one has ever fully trusted God and regretted it. No one in all of human history, my friend, since mankind was placed on the planet, has ever fully given their life to Christ and fully surrendered everything to him and regretted it. Because God is not a liar. And he's a loving father and will not tease you and try to suggest things to you and then just leave you hanging. Oh no, my friend. But when God takes you to get a divine delay, I want to tell you something. God's divine delay is not God's denial. My experience in life, when I don't get what I want, I'm praying away and as best I know how. And his delays, I find as an invitation, as a loving father, say, come on, Richard, I've got something better for you. Come on, Richard, come in this way. Come here, Richard, come here. Come on, come on. Let's talk together. Let's commune together. Let me put faith inside of you. Because, son, I'm preparing you for something great. Let me just say it. We would not be in this building if God had not stretched my faith with smaller projects. Every setback is a setup for a lift up. If God said it, you believe it. You might be 100 years old, my friend, but you keep hanging on to the word of God. You keep faith alive. You keep your soul on fire. But too many Christians are dead on the inside. Too many Christians have got nothing going on inside here. We're called to be an influence on the world. There should be so much fire and faith and word and power and resurrection power on the inside of us. We ought to be influencing those around us. But too many feel dead. Abraham looked at himself and he said, I'm as good as dead. But God said, you know, we should write a song like that, about that. Worship team, write a song about things appear dead, but God said. There's a rhyme going on. Maybe it's a rap song. I should break out in my new career. I don't know. Boom, baby, get some rhymes going on here. Am I crazy? Am I just believing the Bible? The Bible tells me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, my dear family and friends, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. This is the issue. Faith, when you boil it down, is trusting in God, trusting in the character of God, trusting that He's a man of His word. I want to tell you, the Christian life is simply this: obeying God, trusting God and obeying God, trusting God and obeying God. It's called childlike faith. It's simple. It's not easy, because your emotions are going down and you're having a wrestle. But I want to tell you, it's a real wrestle of the soul. It's a battlefield of the mind. It's a spiritual war that's going on. You think it's just my emotions, just my hormones, just this. Oh, well, just... No, no, I want to tell you something. The devil is robbing you. He's a thief. He comes only three things he does. It's all the devil does. Kill, rob, destroy. That's what he does. And he does it really well. I'm here today to say, rise up. I'm here today to say, keep believing. Even when things look dead, God has not finished. Please say hallelujah. Can I invite the worship team to come up, please? This is what I want you to do. By the way, can I just recommend a book? I found this has really done me the world of good. It's called Fresh Faith by Jim Cimbala. Fresh Faith. I really want to recommend that. It's come on up, team. Feel free to jump on up here. It's called Fresh Faith. What does it look like when ordinary believers are ignited by faith? Great faith. Strong faith. This is what I want you to do. I said it before. Is trust God. Trust God. And obey God. Trust Him. Trust Him at His word. And I want to tell you something. It'll be uncomfortable. It'll be uncomfortable. God will ask you to do things. Or He might say, do nothing. It'll be uncomfortable because our emotions, our natural way of doing stuff will be challenged. God will say, do this. Go here. Bless that person. God will say, if we could just love God's word and obey God's word, our life would be so different. Remember, the devil is trying to steal your faith. Why? Because he knows that it's impossible to please God without faith. He knows that the world is overcome by faith. In 1 John 5:4, the world is overcome by faith. The world, it's materialism, it's uncleanness, it's ungodliness, the constant pressure of the world. We overcome the world through faith, my friend. The world has got an agenda for your life. The world is trying to mold you. It's trying to shut you down. It's trying to shut your mouth, shut down your faith, cause you to be dead. That's what the world wants. The devil knows the world is overcome by faith. The devil knows the righteous will live by faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. Real faith is the lifeline to God. If he can sever that, if he can break that, and you don't really believe what you're singing, you don't really believe what the man's preaching, you don't really believe that Bible anymore. Oh, friend, you don't really believe. If he can just cut and sever the lifeline, the power source, friend, he's got you around the noose. And you're dead men walking. You might be going to church, but you're still dead. Satan knows that without living faith, our prayer life is boring and lifeless. It's just mechanical routine at best. The devil knows that, my friend. That's why he's after you. The devil knows that faith alone is the trigger that releases divine power. 1 Peter 1:5. Faith alone is the trigger that releases God's power in your life. Faith is the shield that protects you when you're struggling and trying to be a good Christian. Stop the trying, friend. Lord, just in human effort and just in human enterprise, but you got to get faith around your heart. It's a shield that will protect you. Faith is the key to relationship. Here we go as I finish this point. I'm trying to give you my best advice today. Here I go. You ready for it? If you don't resist Satan, he will rip you off all day long. He's ripping you apart. Right now, you guys would be mad as I would be mad if you went home from church today and you found your front door knocked open. Maybe the front door's jimmied out. All your valuables are gone. You'd be hopping mad. Pastor, help me out. Connect group leader, help me out. What's going on? Injustice, man. But I want to tell you right now, there are more valuable assets being ripped out every day in the house of God because we're not aware of what he's doing. We're not aware. He's ripping you off, friend. He's after your marriage. He's after your kids. He's after your relationship. He's after your confidence. He's after your faith. What impossible situation are you facing? Optimism may be vanishing. You may feel like you're barely hanging on. Maybe the flickering light of hope is squashing. Things may even appear to be dead. But I'm here to say that it's not over until God Almighty says it's over. I refute the devil in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke the spirit of unbelief over your life. Friend, we're going to sing a song called Unchanging God. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't love Abraham more than you. He didn't love me more than you. God loves you just the same. Jesus died for you just the same. His word is just as powerful in you as it is in me. I have the same doubts and discouragements and things like, I've got to grab the word of God. I've got to proclaim it. I've got to believe it. I've got to press through the emotions. I've got to press through the facts and begin to hold on to his word just like you. I'm just desperate for my destiny. There are churches inside of me. There are nations inside of me. Are you desperate? Or are you going to let the devil rob you? Don't blame him if you know it and you let him. I'm here to say, rise up. Reclaim the promises of God. Reclaim the purposes of God over your life. Even when things look dead, believe the word of God. Can someone say amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Please stand to your feet. If you feel like it's nearly 10 past 12, if you feel like you've got to go because there's something pressing, feel free to slip out. But we're going to sing a song right now. Hallelujah. Can anyone identify with this message today? Put your hand up nice and high. I don't care. We're not trying to bow. Praise God. Let anyone say, God, the devil's stolen some things from me. Right now, it's time to claim them back and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want fresh faith from heaven to come down upon your life. We're going to sing this song. And if that's you, and you know devil's been going for it, and you've maybe allowed it, I don't want to accuse or blame anyone, but I know it in my own life, through my own lack of attention, I've allowed things to happen. I want to expose the enemy's plan. It's a spirit of unbelief that's trying to plague you and rob you. If that's you today, I want you to come down here. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for fresh faith to fill your heart once again. Can someone say amen to that? Hallelujah. Just like Abraham and Sarah, we're going to believe in the word of God.